Red dots, sight radius, and handgun accuracy this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. And this week, we are taking a little bit of a handgun detour. A lot of you guys said you like the handgun content, and we've got a question from Peyton that I'm going to answer this week. And Peyton asks, since longer barrels in pistols usually equate to longer sight radius, if you choose to mount a mini red dot sight, Trijicon RMR, Leupold, Delta Point, etc., effectively taking away the sight radius advantage, does the longer barrel still have an accuracy advantage? Well, Peyton, that's a really good question, and I'm going to kind of answer it really quickly, and then we're going to take a detour on a slightly different aspect on this question. First of all, the whole purpose of longer slide handguns, like the Glock 41 that I have here, or the Glock 34, which is the 9mm version, this one's 45 ACP, is to give us a longer sight radius. We really don't care about the added velocity of the longer barrel. And in reality, in these handguns, the accuracy difference between the longer barrels and the smaller barrels is negligible if it's measurable at all. So mainly what we are looking at is that long sight radius. Now, when we go ahead and we mount a red dot sight on the slide of the handgun, we have totally nullified that necessity for that longer sight radius. The longer sight radius just makes it easier to see if we have a slight misalignment with the sights than it does on a shorter handgun like the Glock 43 that I have right here. Now, when we take the red dot sight is going to show that incremental misalignment no matter what the length of the slide is, and it's going to show that misalignment to the same degree. So no matter if I have the Leupold Delta Point on this handgun, or I take that big Mongo red dot sight and somehow fit it to the 43, it is going to show me the exact same sight misalignment. So that is why we are seeing companies like Danger Close Armament fitting mini red dot sights to compact handguns like the Glock 43. They have a really slick package that we handled up at TriggerCon that takes the Glock 43, does a full stippling and slide machining package, and fits a Shield RMS compact red dot sight to the back of the slide. And now that gives us a very, very compact, pocketable pistol that is able to get longer range, precise hits on a target. Now, the accuracy difference between a short barrel like we have here in the Glock 43 and a longer barrel like you would have in a 9mm Glock 34, again, is going to be negligible. Now, what we do start to affect when we change that barrel length is we start to affect velocity. And when you talk about things like 9mm defensive handguns, 9mm defensive handguns are dependent upon the velocity. So when we start shrinking that barrel down, we are losing velocity and we are losing terminal energy. And terminal energy is really important. That is what stops the threat. So we need to get good shot placement, but we need to dump good terminal energy into the target to damage those body structures so that we get a very rapid incapacitation of the target. So that's where what we start to lose when we start to go down to these smaller handguns. Now, I did a little bit of research online. I have not had the chance to go out and actually chronograph the different 9mm loads. I may do that at a later point this year. Go borrow a Glock 34, and then I can do the 34, the 19, and the 43. But when I was doing my research, I actually found that Josh Wehner over at Ammoland.com had already done a very similar test to this. Now, I want to do it just for my own purposes with the ammo that I prefer to carry in 9mm handguns, just to see what kind of velocity loss I actually am having with my little Glock 43 here versus my regular Glock 19 that is my daily carry versus a much larger package like a 17 or a 34 or even a 17L. I know where I can get a hold of a 17L. So we may go out and shoot that. That way we have the extremes on both sides. But When Josh Wehner did his test, he tested 33 types of ammunition, and he tested it in three different handguns. He tested it in a Glock 34, which has a 5.3-inch barrel. He tested it in a Glock 19, which has a 4-inch barrel, and he tested it in a Glock 43, which has a 3.39-inch barrel. And what he found over those 33 rounds is there was an average of about a 10% velocity loss between the Glock 34 on the high end and the Glock 43 on the small end. So the 43, the shorter barrel, only gave up about 10% average across the ammo types. Now, 10% average in velocity, you start to think, well, that's not that big of a deal. These guys are not running super hot to begin with, so you're not losing a ton, but you have to break that down. That roughly equates to a 10% loss in terminal energy as well. Now, there's a little bit more detail involved in this, and unfortunately, the actual spreadsheets and the data that Josh posted, there was some malfunction with the website, and it's not available at this point, and I haven't had a chance to reach out to Josh to try to get those spreadsheets to show you guys. But one thing that we really need to keep in mind is bullet design, they are really intended to operate within a certain velocity envelope. So when that bullet impacts the target, it needs a certain amount of velocity, it needs a certain amount of energy to actually expand and do the damage it was designed to do. When we start to work outside of that envelope, then the bullet may not perform the way the engineers designed it to perform. So that is something you really need to think about when you are going from a larger full-size combat handgun down to a compact, more concealable, more convenient to carry handgun. You want to make sure that your ammunition is still in that velocity range where it is going to perform the best, and you are still going to get good expansion. So that is really a key thing to keep in mind, and that's one of the reasons I want to go out and actually chronograph some of this ammo and see that it is still staying within its performance envelope. Now, the Glock 19, this is a pretty standard size for a combat handgun. The barrel length is pretty average for a concealable handgun, so you would assume that most ammo manufacturers would take that barrel length into account and would design their bullets and design their ammunition to perform out of this platform to at least a marginal performance level. I wouldn't say optimal because, again, 9mm velocity is a key factor. And if you can shoot a 9mm bullet, say 147 grain Federal HydroShock, if you can shoot that out of a longer barrel that is going to maximize the velocity out of it, then you are going to get better terminal performance than if you are shooting it out of a minimally sized barrel. So again, keep that into account. But to expand on what Josh said in his article, and I will leave a link to the article down below, he found that while the average was 10% loss, my preferred carry round, which is the 147 grain Federal HydroShock, only had a 5.5% loss from the longest barrel to the shortest barrel. And I'm wondering if part of that reason is you are pushing a heavier bullet. The powder charge is significantly different between a 147 grain bullet versus a 115 grain bullet. So I'm just wondering if it has to do with the powder formulation and the charge that they are running, that you are burning the vast majority of that charge before you get to the end of the barrel. Because with defensive ammo, and the HydroShock is specifically designed to be a duty round, you really don't want to burn a whole lot of powder past the end of that barrel because you're going to get a much larger muzzle flash. That is going to cause you issues in low light shooting. It's something that police departments take notice of when you're shooting low light drills and you're shooting defensive ammo. If you're throwing huge fireballs, they may start looking at different powder, and it's just wasted powder to begin with. It's more economical to put the minimum amount of powder in a cartridge to achieve the results that you want to achieve versus putting a ton of extra powder in there that would work well in a barrel length that is probably not going to be the average or not going to be the standard. So some really interesting information there. Peyton, I really hope that that answers your question, and something that I hope to look a little bit more into in the future. And if you guys like handgun content, you like discussions like this, or even more into the defensive handgun stuff, please leave me a comment down below. I'm always looking forward to expanding our content to do what you guys want to see. Now, unfortunately, that is the only question that we have for this Mail Call Mondays. We're making this a really short one because I'm still trying to wrap up our Glock 45 review. We have gotten out part one of our ultimatum deadline review. So those of you guys that are coming here for precision rifle content, make sure you check out the deadline build video. Now, I got a lot of comments on that video, both on Full 30 and on YouTube, that there were some people that really didn't like the fact that I just went through and demonstrated. So the whole video is basically a montage of me putting the rifle together. I tried to do the video in a way that you could look at it and you could understand everything that I was doing without me actually saying something. Part of that is trying to push my boundaries with videography and trying to improve my skills with videography. But partly is that's kind of a style that I like where I don't actually have to tell you that I can show you with the camera. So I'm really interested to hear more opinions on if you guys like that type of video or not. If not, then that's where part two comes in, and we're actually going to talk about some different things that I did there and some things that I learned, because when we did the ultimatum build for our video, a short while later, my father got a hold of that rifle, and he really decided he wanted one, so we built one almost exactly the same for him, and I learned quite a few things between the two, and there are some things that I would do differently if I was going to build that platform again. So we will discuss that in part two, and we'll break it down and talk about how each one of the components worked, because overall it has worked very, very well. And there was only one thing out of the build really that I replaced going forward, and there's one extra thing that MDT has now released that I would probably switch to if I built that rifle again today. So make sure you check out the Ultimatum Deadline part one build. Hopefully next week we will have part two out, but I want to get that Glock 45 1,000 round burn down edited and get it uploaded so you guys can check that out. And make sure you are checking out our website at 8541tactical.com. I'm trying to put more content out on the website so we get a little bit more traffic through there. And as always, if YouTube decides to do something stupid like yank our videos down, you can check us out over there at 8541tactical.com, and we have started linking to full 30 videos over there. So if YouTube pulls down our content or demonetizes it or just shoots the video down without any reason whatsoever, then it doesn't pull the video from our website and you'll still be able to see stuff there. So check it out. That's it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions or comments over anything that I've covered, leave it in the comments section below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And most importantly, hit that little bell icon next to the subscription button so that you get notified when we release new content. And until next time, get out and shoot.